Hey everybody, welcome to the show. So I've got an incredibly exciting episode for you today. So if you remember, a few weeks ago, I did a podcast that recapped the STR WealthCon event, which is one of the most exciting events in our industry. And I got really good feedback on the pod. People were like, oh gosh, dude, thank you so much for doing that. I now can't wait to go next year, or I have a better sense of like what this event is all about. And I really appreciate you highlighting these stories and really just, you know, feedback from people that were at the event. And so when I heard about another industry event that was taking place called Level Up Your Listing, I thought we have to do another recap. Like, I wasn't able to be at STR WealthCon. I was also not able to be at Level Up Your Listing. But I think there's just something fun to being able to, like, when you see a lot of hype, right, on Instagram or on social about a conference, especially an STR conference that's like newer, there's lots of questions, right, around like, okay, is it valuable? Like, should I go? Like, it's, conferences are not typically cheap, right? So like, can I afford to go? Like, who's going to be there? Are there going to be other people like me, right? So I think that this might just be one of the things that we do on the pod, is do like little like conference recaps. And so anyways, I, as I mentioned, was not able to be at Level Up Your Listing, unfortunately, this year, but I thought the event from what I saw on social just looked absolutely incredible. So I was like, we have to do a recap and talk to people that were at the event to understand, like, what was it like? What was the content like? What was the networking like? Was it worth it, right? So I asked all the tough questions, all the fun questions as well, to three incredible women who were at Level Up Your Listing. But let me just back up real quickly. If you are not familiar with what Level Up Your Listing is, again, this is the second time that this event took place. It's hosted by Natalie Palmer and Tatiana Taylor Tate. And Natalie Palmer has a podcast called No Vacancy, which is also a part of the HFM, the Hospitality FM Network, which my show is also a part of. And Tatiana is an incredible author, award-winning designer, and a short-term rental coach. And the two of them just teamed up for this, again, what looked like an absolutely incredible event. And, you know, putting on these events is not easy. It's really, really difficult. It's freaking expensive, right? As they will tell you. And trying to differentiate yourself, trying to stand out is just so, so hard. And from the feedback that I heard from people, like, they totally crushed it, right? Like, they nailed this event. One of the things that's really unique about this event that you'll hear from folks in just a second say is that it's primarily focused on women. So the vast majority of attendees are women, which again is just awesome, because that's not something that you see a lot at these conferences, right? This industry, especially from a speaker standpoint, and it's kind of funny I'm even saying this because I'm a dude and I'm hosting a podcast that's, you know, focused on the industry, but it's definitely male dominated. So seeing and hearing about this event where women could come together and the vast majority of speakers and panelists and vendors like were women, is just really, really cool. Something that the industry needs more of. Anyhow, I will shut up in just a second because I want you guys to hear from the, I feel weird saying like from the horse's mouth. Like, how do you say that plurally? Plurally? Gosh, plural. What is the plural of, like, I guess the horsey's mouth? The horse's mouth? Anyways, I digress. You guys know what I'm saying. I want you to hear from people that were actually at the event on what they thought about it. And like, was it worth their time? Was it worth their money, right? What did they think was incredible about the event? What, you know, did they think needed to be improved about the event? So you're going to hear first and foremost from Sage Nathan, who is over at Minoan. Sage is just an incredible human. She leads partnerships over at Minoan. And if you don't know Sage, if you don't follow her, if you're not connected with her, you're really just like missing out on like joy in your life, because Sage is just like a dose of incredible joy, inspiration, creativity, and just overarching like hustle. She's just absolutely incredible. Anyways, she shares her experience of being at the event from a vendor perspective, which I think is really cool. If you're tuning into this pod and you're a vendor, you know, your time and money and resources are also really valuable. So you have to decide what events to go to and why you should go to them. And so Sage gives really cool feedback on what she thought about the event from a vendor's perspective. Then we have Tyann Marsink. Tyann is an incredible, incredible person. She's been in the industry for a long time. And one of the reasons I wanted to have Tyann on specifically is, you know, Tyann is incredibly well networked. I mean, she knows everybody. I actually met her in Barcelona last year, and it literally every person that like we walked, you know, next to at the event was, you know, going out of their way to introduce themselves to Tyann and say, oh my gosh, I follow you on social media. She's just an incredible person. And, you know, but Tyann comes from kind of a, you know, a little bit more of like the old guard in that, like, she is very well versed and steeped in the traditional vacation rental management world. And I thought it was so amazing that she wanted to come to, kind of, you know, more of like an influencer, sort of like more trendy event, which, again, a lot of the folks who are, quote unquote, professionals in the industry don't go to these sorts of events. So just, I mean, cheers and incredible, like, you know, all around claps to Tyann for bridging this gap, because she has so much to offer. And I think she, as you'll hear her say, also had so much to learn. And then last but certainly not least, I got to bring on a very first time attendee and like just kind of like someone who's newer to the industry named Bella Linchenko. And Bella is a designer and she's a muralist. You should look her up on Instagram. She's just incredible, beautiful art. And she loves conferences. Like, she loves going to conferences. But this, she decided like very, very last minute. I think she said it was like a week or two before the event to just like sign up and check out Level Up Your Listing. And she just had such incredible things to say about how Natalie and Tatiana designed an experience that not just like matched what they said about the event, like what they said it would be on the website, but far surpassed it. And she also has some good feedback and criticism for what they can do better next time. All right, friends. Without further ado, enjoy this recap. You'll hear first and foremost from Sage, then you'll hear from Tyann, and last but certainly not least, you will hear from Bella. So guys, enjoy the show. Let me know what you think about these episodes. You can email me at any time at Zach, Z-A-C-H, at spontaneous.com, or find me on social. Okay, guys, onto the episode. Alrighty, Sage, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I am great. Super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course, I feel like you are long overdue as like a guest on this podcast. Like, we've been friends for, I don't know, at least a year now. And I feel like
way longer than a year.
Jeez. Yeah. Where has the time gone? And you're obviously over at Minoan and just doing incredible work there. And that's how we first interacted. But you, as being a member of the Minoan team, you go to a lot of events, right? And you actually just got back from an event called Level Up Your Listing, which is a newer event. I think this was only the second time they ever hosted the event. Yep. But it's sort of like taken Instagram and social media by storm. And I've heard such incredible things about this event. And I wanted to bring a few people onto this podcast who were there, because I unfortunately wasn't able to be there, to just get a little bit of a recap. Like, what was great? You know, where, if any, are there areas for improvement? And then kind of, you know, specifically your perspective as a vendor, like, what were some of your takeaways? So let's just start at the very beginning. Like, what were your overall impressions about this event?
So it was our second year. It was my second year. I mean, second year of the event, like you said, our second year sponsoring, my second time being there. There were four of us on the Minoan side. Everyone else other than me, it was their first time being at this event. And it was so fun. I was like hyping them up before. I'm like, guys, this is a really good one. You know, there are different perspectives of every single event, and there are a lot. Like, I go to a lot of these, so thankfully I have a good foundation, you know, to compare and contrast a little bit. But the energy and the type of people that Natalie and Tatiana, their audience, like, they come hungry to learn. They're fun. It's predominantly women, which is super exciting. You know, there were a few men. Mr. Slickers himself was there, of course. But I love, and all of us on the Minoan side were women who were there. And it is so fun being surrounded by other successful women, hungry women, who are eager to learn and to, you know, to use their own term of the event, to level up. And it was really fun to see Natalie and Tatiana take what happened in year one, how the event went, and continue to make it bigger and better this year. So I'm super proud of them. And it was awesome to be back and support them in year two.
I think what's so cool about what they are doing is positioning it as, I think last year the messaging was maybe a little bit stronger than it was this year about it being like a like women's event. And yet, like, you know, what's really funny is, I mean, I'm new to this industry, but one of the things I've observed and one of the things that I've heard other people lament about, right, is that, like, you go to all these conferences and it's all these dudes, right, like, talking.
Just a bunch of Zachs.
Just a bunch of Zachs, yeah. I'm like, and, like, all the podcasters, like, are dudes and whatnot. And yet, like, I think what's really interesting about this space is, I mean, a lot of the podcasts I listen to in this space are actually hosted by women, which is amazing, first and foremost. But then two, to double down on an event and like decide like, hey, no, we are going to intentionally position it for women in the space is one, just brilliant, because I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but from like a hosting perspective, I believe it's like 75%+ are women to begin with. So it's just funny that from an industry perspective, that's not always reflected in like the educational content at these events. So it's, I love the fact that they've like positioned themselves as like the event where hungry entrepreneurial women can come and learn and grow and share resources with each other.
Me too. And I think Stacey St. John does a good job of that too. And she was at the event supporting Natalie and Tatiana too. She has a virtual women's summit. And I think just being able to get a bunch of women in the room where they don't feel as intimidated, you know, being by a bunch of dudes as being around a bunch of dudes, like you'd say, you just see them like come out of their shell and be vulnerable and talk about the things that are really challenging and talk about their successes in a much more open way than I see them interact at events that are much more male dominated.
Yeah, super, super interesting. Well, you know, this kind of leads into my next question, which is, as you've thought about, you know, this event now that you've been back for, you know, just a few days, did anything surprise you about it? Like what if anything was interesting or beyond it being like predominantly women, which again is a differentiator in and of itself, but anything else about this event just come across as like interesting or surprising as you reflect on it?
Yeah, I think something that's really interesting to me, and I don't know if it's specifically unique to this event, but it's the most recent exposure that I've had, is how many people are still so new in this industry. Like overall, the short-term rental industry is very, very young. But in a lot of these events, you know, I'm talking to people who have 500 properties, who have 20 to 50, and they've scaled their portfolio to that from zero in a year. At Level Up Your Listing, there's a lot of people who I met, they're like, I'm just getting started. I heard about this event and I wanted to come learn, and I have zero properties, or I have one and I'm trying to get to two. And people are at all different stages in their investing and short-term rental journey. And so it's really refreshing to see people who are still hungry to learn and get out there and get after it.
Yeah.
And who also understand the value of community and being in the same room as people who have done what you're wanting to do. I don't know about surprising, but just really like humbling and really, really great to see that this industry is just super supportive. And people, you know, even if people got started 10 years ago, there are still new people coming in. There's enough room for everyone, you know, maybe not everyone, but there's enough room and pieces of the pie for others to have a seat at the table. And I'm just super pumped for those people who I met at the conference who are just getting started and are taking the leap to put themselves out there. You know, conferences aren't cheap. So you're making an investment in yourself and in your future. And so I'm really proud of, if that's you, anyone who's listening, you should be proud of yourself.
Yeah. So well said. And just to like double click on that, like I was talking to somebody recently, I think it was just last week, who they scaled a portfolio to 300 and I believe it was 350 properties at this juncture. And one of the things that this person said, which I thought was so interesting, he said like, I love talking and just going to the host that has like one or two properties that are just like incredibly well like curated and designed, and that I see all over Instagram. We are, in his words, like we are so different in terms of like the businesses that we're running and whatnot. But like their perspective, having just joined, like there are things that they do from a hospitality perspective that just like makes common sense to them that we as our business have struggled to do for years, right? And I thought it was just like a really cool, interesting perspective that somebody who is, you know, on paper, like very successful, is actually seeking out thoughts and insight from folks who have one or maybe two stunning, beautiful, like well-curated spaces. And how, you know, those individuals, if they desire to grow, can learn from these folks as well. So to your point, it's a very giving industry. And I think that this is true. Again, I wasn't at the event, but one of the things that I've heard at least Natalie talk about on her podcast and just on Instagram, I follow her on Instagram, she talked a lot about how like, you know, you don't need to like scale for the sake of scaling, and like just growing your portfolio for the sake of growing your portfolio is like, that's not necessarily like a badge of honor that like, one, it's not necessarily a badge of honor. And then two, it's not necessarily something that everybody wants to do or should do. And that's like actually okay. And it's crazy to hear people in this space like say that that's actually okay. Because historically, like, it was all, it's all about growth. It's all about like the number of units and the number of doors. So did that sort of messaging come across as at the event?
In terms of the, oh, what you're saying about Natalie, where you don't need a ton.
Yeah, yeah,
definitely. And it's funny you mentioned that, because I was just listening to the Carwells podcast. I'm not sure if you tune into theirs, but they're great. Emily and Sarah, they're best friends, and they have a hosting business that they run together and a small little like coaching program. And they are amazing, great humans, great podcasts. And they were recapping STR Wealth in an episode that they put out a couple weeks ago. And they said the exact same thing. They're like, you know what? We don't care if you have 10 properties or 200 properties. That number doesn't matter to us. What we want to know is like, what's your bottom line? How much revenue are you making? Because if you're making the same revenue and profit on 10 that you are as 200, the person with 200 has a lot more work that they're having to put in. So I agree. Like, I think it's the tone and the message has shifted from like, buy as many properties as you can and get into as many doors, as let's maximize the ROI on the individual properties that you have, and then get rid of the ones that aren't performing well, and try and not, this isn't for everyone, right? But if you're focused on maximizing your returns, you can do so without having a portfolio of 50 to 100 properties.
Yeah. 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 So well said. I mean, it's all about as you grow, as you learn, right? It's all just about like leveling up your portfolio, and like the number could be consistent, but the quality of the properties could be vastly different as your business grows. Sage, as a vendor, right? I'm always interested, right? As somebody who has a business like myself, right? It's not cheap to go to these events. The travel costs alone are expensive, let alone any sort of like sponsorship costs and whatnot. From your perspective, with your kind of Benoan hat on, as opposed to just your like attendee, industry loving hat on, what did you think about the event? Like, was it worth it? Like, how do you guys think about like measuring the value of events like Level Up Your Listing?
Good question. I think a lot of it we base initially, because there's no guarantee of number of attendees, right? You know, people have projections. Hey, at this event, we're expecting 2,000. At this event, we're expecting between 300 and 500. And so we try and base our sponsorship depending on those projections and use that as a baseline. For this event, it was our second year. So, how we value success or determine success is different for different events. I think ultimately it's how many new people are we able to get in front of to encourage them to check out Minoan. That's huge. Yeah. That's like pretty basic, but there's also a lot of value that comes from being at these events that's not rooted in signups, that comes from talking to our existing customers. Hey, I've signed up for Minoan 2 years ago and I've placed one order. It's like, let's dig in there. How was your experience? Where were your sticking points? Like, what stopped you from ordering again? That's, our team's entirely remote right now. And so being able to get FaceTime with existing customers to understand the good, bad, and the ugly, we're still a young and growing company. So there are going to be challenges and things that we're going to continue to fix. And so hearing that firsthand from customers is truly invaluable. And also being able to network with other companies, like it's great seeing Kenny from STR Insights, Monique from Price Labs, like a lot of people that we have now become friends with, seeing them over and over again, but seeing how they're also providing value for other people in the space kind of went on a little bit of a tangent from your original question. Is it worth it for us? It's always worth it, I think, for us to get out there, to have a name for ourselves, to have a presence at these events, to support other people in the industry like Natalie and Tatiana, and show up for our members. So I'm like, hey, we're here for you guys. In terms of the overall ROI, we'll probably know more about that in 6 to 12 months from now, when we see how those signups shake out and how people interact with Minoan in between now and then. But listen, we were super happy to be back for year number two, and just really proud of Natalie and Tatiana for everything they put into the event.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. My last question for you, Sage, is, this event seems like it was incredible. I've only heard really great things about it holistically, but, I think as an event planner, right, it's very important to hear criticism. Like what could have been better? And as Natalie and Tatiana reflect on this year's event, I saw an awesome Instagram like reel about them, excited about next year's event already, right? And I'm sure that they're sort of like debriefing right now and thinking, okay, what went great? And then what could we do better next time? From your perspective, what, if anything, could the team there improve upon for next year's event?
Great question. When you were talking and asking the question, I had another thought to your earlier question that I just want to touch on really quickly, because I think
yeah.
as a vendor, this is the first event, the only event that we've ever been able to do something like this. And it's been hugely helpful. Tatiana and Natalie had a team, Matiana and the Deng Fine Rentals team, do all of the booths for all the sponsors. So we did not have to bring a single thing other than like our giveaway items, which wow. is huge for us because it is so expensive and honestly just a pain to ship all of your booth materials there, to set them up, to take it down. So being able to just show up in Scottsdale and have our killer booth designed by Matiana and the team that represented Minoan in a great way without us having to do anything was unbelievably helpful. So big shout out to Matiana and the Deng Fine Rentals team, Natalie and Tatiana for incorporating that. No other event does something like that. And it is just such a relief to not have to bring your own stuff. So that was huge. To answer your last question, constructive feedback. I think, the venue didn't change. It's a great venue. Very, yeah. very great. And on brand and super vibey. I love the indoor outdoor feel. My one constructive piece of feedback with that venue in particular is where the sessions are happening and yeah. where the vendors are completely separate. So if people meaning attendees, they don't want to come by the vendor hall, they don't ever have to. It's very yeah. easily avoidable, which, yeah. you know, some people are like, great, I don't want to be forced into that. But from a sponsor side, would love more FaceTime and like dedicated sessions. I think even potentially having like the breakfast in the vendor hall or something to get people kind of walking through there, because while it was great that we could watch, they had a really nice like little TV set up in the vendor hall so that we could tune into the sessions, but still be at our booths. I think having more dedicated time to mingle with attendees would be really helpful. But I mean, they killed it. The amount of time and preparation that they put into the event, the branding, best branding of any event by far. The bags, the shirts, last year they had some really cool keychains. I mean, it's very, very well thought through. So, you know, yeah. hats off to them. And that would probably be my biggest piece of constructive feedback from the vendor side.
And I think that's incredible feedback, right? Because again, I assume they want to grow their sponsorships and maybe not even in terms of like the number, but in terms of, I'm sure they'd love to be able to charge Minoan more next year, right?
Oh, yeah.
who wouldn't, right? And so I think that sort of feedback is great. You guys want to make sure that you have, it's worth your time, quite frankly, because this is a significant investment. And those, you know, hosting the happy hour in the vendor hall and just the different things like that, right? Or incorporating vendors a little bit more into kind of that main session area is a relatively easy. I don't know about this venue specifically, but I think that's a relatively easy thing to accommodate for next time around. So,
definitely.
Sage, hey, thank you so much for your time and for all the incredible work that you and the Minoan team are doing. I know that you do go to a lot of these events, and so I have selfishly wanted to get you as a participant in one of these event recap pods because you have just a wealth of perspective that not everybody does. So thanks so much for your time and for sharing some of your insights with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I was at an industry networking event recently with some incredible hospitality entrepreneurs, and there was one topic of conversation that everyone was chatting about. Can you guess what it was? Keep in mind, this was an event with some of the most incredible folks building unique stays, micro resorts, and other unforgettable Airbnbs. So these folks knew what they were doing. These weren't like industry newbies. Any guesses? Can you guess what the hottest topic of conversation was? Well, if you guessed cleaning, you'd be right. You see, it doesn't matter if your average nightly rate is $100 or $1,000, if it's your guest room or the world's most unique treehouse, if the stay isn't clean, your guests aren't going to be happy. And finding the right cleaning team, especially these days, is really tough. But my new friends at Turno help make it easier. Turno is the smartest way to schedule, pay, and find vacation rental cleaners. Think of Turno as an Uber or TaskRabbit for STR hosts. Simply create an account, describe your listing's cleaning needs, and Turno will match you with cleaners near you. And get this, each cleaner's profile is complete with ratings and reviews from other STR hosts, so you know what you're getting into and who you're going to be working with ahead of time, rather than crossing your fingers and praying that your new cleaner meets your expectations. And you can store all of the cleaning preferences that you have in your account that is associated with each of your listings. This ensures a quality cleaning every time. Turno's auto-scheduling feature syncs to your rental calendar and automatically generates cleaning projects associated with guest check-in and check-out dates to be shared with cleaners. After the cleaning, Turno can auto-process payments for you. How cool is that? So no more like Venmoing people over, you know, your iPhone. And it gets even better, friends. Turno offers a simple, affordable pricing for STR hosts of any size. Single property accounts and marketplace users get access to all the platform's tools and features for free. And they make working with your existing teams easy too, with plans as low as just $6 per property per month. There's so much to Turno, so I want you to take just 5 minutes to explore their offering further at turno.com/behindthestays. And the team there is offering Behind the Stays listeners a $150 Amazon gift card after you complete your first turnover before March 31st of 2024. So don't sleep on this, folks. Go to turno.com/behindthestays to learn more. Alrighty, Tyann, we are live. Welcome back to the show. It's been a while since you've been on.
It has. Thanks for having me, Zach.
We were just reminiscing about the fact that almost a year ago, exactly, we were together in Barcelona, and that was like such an incredible event for the Book Direct show. And then that was followed by Scale. I didn't get to stick around for Scale, but you are headed back to Barcelona, I hear, in the not too distant future.
I am. Yeah, I got a pretty busy schedule between April events and then Barcelona events. And then hopefully take a short break. I say a break for the summer, but I have, you know, my own businesses to run as well with my vacation rental companies, besides, you know, representing Touch Day all over the world. But it's great. And I'm super excited. I get to be the opening keynote for Northwest VRP event in April. My very first opening keynote. Super excited. I'm thinking I might do a flash mob. We'll see, you know. But the thing is, you know, I'm all about you abandon boring. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, I have no doubt that it will be, because every time I've heard you speak on a podcast or in person, it's always a party. It's always unexpected, right? It always makes me a little uncomfortable because I'm like, uh-oh, what is she going to do next? But I feel like that's the sign of a good speaker. Like you want to get, you know, the audience, the crowd, right, out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, it is. It's so much fun. And then my goal also always is to educate and have people go away with the feeling of, okay, I learned at least one thing, if not five or more. And, you know, seeing the pencils on the paper, or the notes being put into phones, just I love it, because that's who I am as a teacher and encourager. And I'm super excited that I'm able to do that in the vacation rental industry.
Well, at Touch Day, you are known as the queen of guest experience, but I think it's also fair to say that you might be like the queen of vacation rental event experiences as well. Like, I mean, you've gone to so many of them, and you've been in the industry for a while. You've got your own businesses in addition, obviously, to representing Touch Day. So I wanted to get your perspective on the Level Up Your Listing event, which again, just happened. It's the second time this event has happened. It's still a new event. And I've been asking a few people who I unfortunately wasn't able to be there. I've been asking a few people that were there what they thought of the experience. So at sort of like a high level, Tyann, what did you think about the experience? Had you been to Level Up Your Listing before? Was this your first time at the event?
This was my very first time at this event. Last year it was total FOMO, because I was in town the same time as the event last year, but I was at another event literally just down the street. Oh. And for the whole time, I'm like, I want to clone myself. I need to be in two places at once. So I was super excited that I got to attend the Level Up Your Listing this time. And one of the things that was, it shouldn't have been a surprise with way Natalie and Tatiana, they create things, but it just totally blew me away as the marketing on the website and everything they said, this is what Level Up Your Listing is going to be. It was exactly that. When you arrived, you know, they nailed the atmosphere, the vibe of happy, cheerful, the colors, the displays, the signage, all the natural light. Oh my gosh, natural light. Give me all the natural light, because most conferences is no natural light for days on end. Yeah. So they, you know, what they said they would give you is exactly what they gave you. And then what was really unique and different about their event was it felt more like an embrace, and they immersed you in hospitality. So they weren't just, you know, saying, hey, here's how to do hospitality, here's what to do. They said, we're going to put you within true hospitality experience so you can experience it while we teach you. And I just love that.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, and you know, I want to just again circle back to what you said about the fact that what they said on the website actually transpired, because the number of times like you see, and it's not just conferences, right? It can be anything. It can be a product, it could be a service, and then you actually experience it and you're like, okay, maybe 3 of the 10 bullet points were true, but not all 10. And so that's high praise, especially coming from you, which I think again is just a strong testament to, you know, their brands as individuals, but then also sort of what they aspire to be and the kind of brand that they aspire to be. So that's incredible feedback. What, if anything, surprised you about the event? It sounds like you were surprised by just like the level of detail and hospitality, but anything else surprised you about this event?
Surprisingly, not beyond the details and everything it drew me in. I loved it. I also really love seeing a whole new set of people that I have not seen at other conferences. Mm. And even in the beginning, they asked the question, you know, who here, is this your very first conference in the industry, period? And there were so many people that raised their hand. Wow. So it's incredible. And I love that this was their first experience being around an amazing group of people like this.
Yeah, which I mean, that's amazing. And you've been around in the industry for a while. You've gone to loads and loads of events. And I mean, traditionally, right? Like, I don't think this is, and still today, there is sort of this, like, I don't want to say clash, but there's sort of like these two camps, right? There's the like traditional like vacation rental managers and folks who've, you know, were doing this long before the world had even heard of Airbnb, right? And then there are the folks who are you know, they self-identify as Airbnb hosts. And oftentimes these two camps, like they don't collaborate. Like there's so much that I think that can be learned from both sides of the aisle, if you will. And oftentimes there isn't that point of collaboration. So it's cool that you, as somebody who has so much knowledge to offer, you're immersed yourself in places where there are probably people in that room that don't even have a single short-term rental or they have one, right? And they just got one last year, which couldn't be like more different on paper than what you've done and the businesses that you've built.
Yeah. And that reminds me, there was someone that asked me, who I've seen at many conferences as well. So they were an exhibitor there too. And they asked me, they're like, Tyann, what are you getting out of these conferences? I mean, don't you already know all this stuff? Aren't you bored? And I'm like, no, honestly, I'm not bored. And I get so much from these because I am the type of person, I am observing, I'm watching, I'm listening to what is it that these hosts and young property managers, what are their pain points? What are their problems? How can we solve them? Are they seeing something, an issue in a different viewpoint or different light that I can learn from them? You know, how is it that I can improve myself by learning from them, not just sharing, oh, hey, you know, I really think I'm the best and you should listen to me. It's like, no, it's not that at all. It's I can learn so much from them. What terms are they using? What is it that they're wanting to fix their pain points with? All of that. There's just so much to gain from others when you observe and listen.
I was talking to somebody else who was at the event, and one of the things that they said was they were just really surprised when at one point they were in a conversation over like a happy hour with a few attendees, and they were just talking about their PMS, and you know it's a mostly like women's event, and they were like everyone except that individual thought they were talking about something entirely different, like property management system was not what they thought she was talking about, right? and I think like that's just it's just so funny, and it just goes to show you that like there is a whole new generation of folks that are building cool hospitality companies and businesses that, again, they just don't know the jargon, right, of more professional operators and people who've just been around a lot longer. So I just thought that was like a funny little anecdote.
And you know what? They're going to come up with their own jargon, just the young generations. You know, my one son bought a car recently, and he had a load of money because he paid for it in cash. And wow. he's like, look at this band, Mom, I got. I'm like, what are you talking about? What's a musical band? What are you talking? He's like, no, it's the wrapped stacks of money. Those are bands. I'm like, oh, okay.
Not a wad. It's a band now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's amazing. Oh my gosh. Well, one of the other questions I had for you, you know, Tyann, is around the content of the event. So I'd be curious just how it compared to content from other events that you've been to, maybe some more traditional, like, you know, VRMA and VRMA, like sort of like affiliated events, like what from a content programming perspective was different and were just unique about Level Up Your Listing?
Yeah, I love seeing new folks up on stage. But they weren't new to the industry per se. They were extremely knowledgeable. They did very well with not trying to sell a single thing to you, except they wanted to make sure you got the knowledge that they were imparting to you. And they also spoke, you know, like you said, it was mainly women. There was a handful of men, but the speakers knew who their audience was, and they were able to speak in a very relatable way. They're very approachable, and you could tell from their hearts that they simply wanted to share and encourage, and whoever's listening to them, you know, that they would grow and succeed with the knowledge that they're giving to them. My favorite one though was Natalie Palmer herself, and how she talked about, we need to remove the word, as women especially, we need to remove the word just when we talk about ourselves and our business, because we're not just someone doing this. We're not just a partner. We're not just answering phones. We don't have just one property. And she gave the demonstration, the example of how her family and her, I think it was her great grandmother or someone, how it wasn't just one house that she had bought in California. But it was a property that actually created an entire legacy through generations through Natalie. And just her sharing her story and encouraging these ladies, like, don't look down on yourself. You're not just someone working in this business and just cleaning toilets. You are someone who is serving hospitality and providing a space for these families to come together. And you are creating a legacy yourself.
Wow. Yeah. That's totally powerful. And I feel like very on brand with their whole idea of like, look, stop looking at like, it's not a numbers game, right? It's not about like how large is your portfolio. It's like, hey, are you cultivating and building a business that's like enabling you to have the life that you want and or like the life that like your family needs you to have? Like I remember Natalie early on, you know, and she still talks about this on her podcast from time to time, talking about how like, hey, she did this so that she could like be a mom, right? Like this enabled her to be the kind of mom that she wanted to be. And, you know, has since done a lot more than just that for her. Right. And I think like, that is such a cool reminder, is like, hey, like, yeah, remove the word just, right. And also remember that everyone's goal in this specific space is different. And that difference is absolutely okay. There's not a better than, right. Or, you know, it's just different. So very, very cool reminder. And I think just very on brand with like the community that Natalie and Tatiana have built.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I relate to her so much, because when I started way back almost 17 years ago, it was simply because I wanted to provide, you know, help provide for my family. And very important, I wanted to take my kids to school every morning and pick them up after school every afternoon. That was a non-negotiable, and I was going to make sure that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So well said. My last question for you, Tyann, is, you've again been to a lot of these events. I'd love some like constructive, you know, criticism. I'm sure that Natalie and Tatiana, as well, right? Anytime you put on an event like this, especially when one you've poured so much of your blood, sweat, and tears into, you obviously want it to be successful, and it sounds like this event really was. But you also want to do better next time, and you want to improve upon, you know, maybe gaps or things that could have gone wrong, or even just could have gone better. What, from your perspective, if anything, could this event do next year to be a little bit different, or to just kind of build upon the momentum that they've already created?
And they did so well with the normal things that conferences fail at. I mean, they ran a tight schedule that was on time. They did fabulous with that. The food was delicious and plentiful. It was very well put throughout the entire day. And then, of course, they had the incredible event guide from Touch Day with a sprinkling of the memo text throughout. So the most constructive feedback I give is, one, you need more comfortable seating. The chairs, the chairs looked great. They were not very comfortable to sit in. but the good thing was it was easy to get up and walk around and get some natural light and then hop back in. And then also, I would love to see for next year to have some small group workshop breakouts on very specific topics, because the attendees are coming in. They went to level up your listing. And some of the feedback I heard from others is that they were seriously looking to literally, at that point, level up their listing and do some work on their listing. So I think it'd be incredible if they had just small group workshop breakouts so that the attendees could sign up and actually get some of that done that they wanted to do.
Yeah. I, by the way, just as a plug, I think that finding a way, the conference that can like actually crack how to do that really well is going to be like a gangbuster moment, because I think about like, you know, hackathons, right? And you think about like developers and just what made Silicon Valley what Silicon Valley is today, right? Is you got a bunch of people who like locked themselves in a room and they figured out how to freaking build a website, right? That changed the way that we travel forever. And like, and I think that that same idea, right, can and should be applied to these conferences. People are out of their routines. They're away from their families. They're away from like, you know, their other day jobs that they might have. How do you allow for space? And I think the biggest problem, Tyann, which you probably can resonate with, is like, it's got to be led so well. Like you have to be like the person, the instructor has to be incredible, because it's just so hard to do. Like it's hard to get people to focus, right? People are tired, they traveled, whatever. But if you can figure out how to in real time help somebody level up their listing, people will come forever. You'll have customers freaking forever. So anyways, I just, again, want to double click on that, because I think that insight is incredibly valuable and just super, super important.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you.
Well, Tyann, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the incredible work that you and the TouchDay team do as well. And hey, I am bummed I'm not going to see you in Barcelona next month, but I will be sure to see you on the road at some point soon.
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
Last minute cancellations suck. And that's why we built Ping. Ping makes it easy for guests to be notified when their favorite Airbnbs become available. Ping is a simple widget that lives on your website or your direct booking site and allows your fans and followers to sign up and be notified if their preferred dates become available. Here's how it works. Jimmy sees that you're booked the whole month of October, but he wants to be notified if any 3-night window in the month becomes available. Jen is a returning guest, and she wants to be notified if any week in June, July, or August becomes available. In a matter of seconds, Jimmy and Jen fill out the simple form, and they will be pinged if the requested dates become available. And as a host, you will immediately get pinged via email with Jimmy and Jen's contact information and requested dates, which enables you to build up your own database of guest email addresses. Ping is what the best Airbnb hosts use to maximize bookings. You can get access to our beta pricing with plans that start at just $39 a year at bnbping.com. Again, that's bnbping.com. Alrighty, folks, we are live with Bella Linchenko. Amazing name, Bella, by the way. Like, that's a freaking really, really cool name. What is Linchenko?
Thank you.
What's like the origin of?
I have my husband to thank for my last name, and I thought it was really cool too. It's Ukrainian. But his dad is from Russia. So
wow,
that's, very.
I bet you guys have had some interesting conversations around the dinner table recently.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh wow, that's amazing. Well, Bella, I am super appreciative of your time, and I wanted to chat with you today because you recently attended the Level Up Your Listing event, and I've been talking to some folks who were at the event. As I've mentioned a few times already, I was not actually at the event, unfortunately, but I've heard so many great things about it. But I wanted to quickly get your thoughts on the event. My first question for you, Bella, is, was this the first time you were at this event, or did you attend last year?
Yeah, this was the first time I went to Level Up Your Listing, and it was kind of a last minute decision for me. I had a friend who wanted to attend last year, didn't have the chance to. She sent me the information, was like, we need to go. And so I was like, literally, like, I bought my ticket maybe 2 weeks in advance.
Wow.
And I didn't know what to expect besides, like, I knew it was going to be women focused, which I thought was really cool. And I am a conference girly. I'm a junkie, you could even say. I go to lots of conferences. Like, it's where I feel most alive. I thrive at conferences, but I really wanted to go to this one because I thought it was a unique, different vibe. And I do focus on short-term rentals in my investment portfolio. So I thought it was like a perfect match. And I mean, literally, like in a nutshell, it was probably one of the best conferences I've ever been to,
wow,
if not the best.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that's my very overview of the situation. I thought it was really wonderful though.
Well, first and foremost, Bella, I know that a lot of people like don't like conferences, but I'm sort of like a closet like conference lover too. So I feel like I'm in good company, because a lot of people complain about conferences and, oh, I got to go to this thing and it's like boring. I'm like, I feel so energized by events like this. And so I love that you said that. I think you're the only person I've ever heard say that. And I'm like,
I'm a self-proclaimed conference junkie.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So I want to hear a little bit about like what, What if anything like surprised you about the event? It sounds like it was a pretty last minute decision for you to go to begin with, but upon sort of attending, like what aspects of the event made it like the best, if not one of the best events you've ever been to?
So I think that the number one thing that surprised me was how well the event was designed. And you have to know my background is in graphic design. I'm an interior designer. I'm a muralist. So everything beautiful is important to me. And the fact that literally every square inch of everything was done to the nines in a way that was aesthetic and cohesive was something that I've never experienced. Like just like the conference hall where all of the vendors were sitting up, all of the sponsors, every single one of those booths was designed and not by the company that was sponsoring it, by Natalie's team and the people behind the conference. They created this really immersive experience. You never felt like you were out of bounds. You always felt like you were part of like this really stunningly beautiful event. So I would say the visuals were surprising. I would say the willingness for the conference attendees to immediately engage with each other was extremely surprising. I feel like conferences, like the first few hours of any event, people are like scared to talk to each other. And I think one of the reasons might've been because it was so women centric. There was a sense of camaraderie amongst women that made us feel more like, you know what? Oh my gosh, your outfit's so cool. Let's be friends.
Yeah.
Like everybody was dressed to the nines. So like, it was really fun to just be able to like hit the ground running. And there was none of that like awkward, oh my gosh, I'm afraid to introduce myself. And then like the second you knew one person, they introduced you to everybody they knew. And then you were just like connected to the whole group immediately.
Yeah. What I love about what you said, which a couple other people have echoed as well, is like how well it was like designed. And you never think about like a conference. You never think about describing a conference as like well designed. Maybe the content, right, of the event was well designed. But in terms of the experience, like no one says, oh my gosh, I just went to a beautiful conference, right? And yet that's what you know, you and others have said about this event.
It's true. I can totally see that. It's definitely not something that people focus on. So the fact that they did focus on it is what made it so awesome and surprising.
I love it. Great, great answer to the question. So one of the questions I have for you is around the content of the event. So it's one thing you go to industry events to network, right? To meet people, to have a good time, right? To be immersed in this like incredibly like well-designed space. But obviously, like the content and the programming of any event is quite important, if not like the most important thing, right? Depending on who you ask, people go for the networking or they go for the content, you know, equally important stuff. What did you think of the content of this event?
I thought the content was spot on. I think that for the most part, I liked how, okay, backing up, a lot of these industry events in the short-term rental space or even in like the real estate investing space kind of like have the exact same people come for every single one. So I've seen a lot of people multiple times. What I liked about this event was that they kind of branched out to not just include real estate people, though they did have great real estate specialists, which was important, obviously, to feel like you're, you know, learning in that realm of content. But they also brought on a few people that were like so different, but so relevant. Like there was a woman that was specifically catered to social media, which is a huge part of being a good short-term rental host. You have to promote on social media. But she didn't just, you know, target it to that. She like just showed you all about social media in general. And then there was another woman that was about financial, being like a finance guru. And I thought that that was really awesome because it wasn't specifically focused on SDRs, right? But it still had so much value. And those two events were some of my favorites, even though, yeah, they weren't exactly short-term rental focused, but that's because I've seen a lot about short-term rentals, but I rarely see stuff about social media and finances. So I thought having like the breadth of content was really nice. And there was still a lot of depth too, right? Because there were some of like the heavy hitter speakers, like Christy Wolf, who was amazing. She's the unique SDR designer who made like Idaho Potato Airbnb. She's a huge role model. And I think just shocked everybody in the room with how unique her perspective is on this industry. But then there's also like people like Pace Morby, who, you know, teach about creative finance, and that whole industry is like a whole different world of real estate. So there was a lot of breadth of knowledge. And I also thought that normally with conferences, whenever the sponsors do like speaking events pieces, sometimes it can feel really salesy. But I think what they did, or however they talked to these sponsors about speaking, they had them give value. So it wasn't just, yes, it was a sales pitch in the end. Like obviously they want you to use their product, but ultimately there was always a piece of value to be given. Like for the host GPO segment, they talked about like, what is your brand? What is the brand of your STR? That's really important. Like targeting the right customers, like what kind of furniture is this customer going to use? Do they have kids? Like you don't want something that's going to be bad for kids. So like there was something really special even in those pieces that I was like originally like, I don't really want to watch a sponsor talk to me about how I should use them, but they gave value. So that's a little bit about the content from my perspective, at least.
Very, very well said. One of the things that I loved that last point about the sponsors, because I do think one of the hardest things, right, with any event, in quite frankly, like any like professional space, but especially the short-term rental space, is you need money to put these events on. They're not cheap, right? So you need sponsors, and sponsors want to get in front of prospective customers and they want airtime, right? And yet, you know, people, attendees are like, I don't want to hear from sponsors, right? Like I don't want to be sold to. And striking the right balance of like, guys, you don't understand, like, you know, what we charge you for your ticket does not cover all of this stuff. Like we need other money too. And the only way we can all be here is because of these sponsors. So you need that like right mix of obviously sponsorship money and also, you know, great attendees. And I think that the hardest thing for these events to pull off is striking that incredible balance between giving folks airtime, but also ensuring that they're providing true value and not just, you know, pimping out QR codes for you to sign up for their service. And I'll just give credit where I think credit is due. I think the folks who are building these like next generation of conferences, like I would put Natalie and Tatiana in this category. I'd put like the folks at STR WealthCon in this category. I'd put the thanks for visiting folks in this category as well. Like these newer like events that have emerged, as opposed to some more of like the legacy, like, you know, Verma, like the VRMA events. I think that this next generation of events, like they're striking this balance really, really well. And I don't know if it's just because there are other vendors or partners in the space that like are, you know, or they're maybe just have younger companies and they know that you can't just get up on a stage and just sell your product. Otherwise no one will listen to you. But it does seem like there's this much more appropriate and actually even valuable balance that these younger events have been able to strike with their partners.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think that just comes from like new perspectives completely have the ability to revolutionize existing ideas,
yeah.
Right? So like Natalie and Tatiana are some really bright minded visionaries of the future that had the idea to make this something like, yeah, conferences aren't pretty usually. They're usually just there and like maybe one part of the stage is pretty, but like they were like, let's make the whole thing pretty. Why don't we just do that? And I think in those older, you know, more traditional style conferences, like why would I put money towards that? You know, and they, you know, they're realizing that there are more ways to add value. And I think that's true in the STR world. Like it's the same thing, right? Like the amenities we're adding are more extravagant than they ever were. Yeah. You don't just need a bed and a couch and a TV. You need like a hot tub. You need these things because it adds to the experience. And I think that they took that perspective that we're all learning in the STR space about adding more value and more design into a conference and doing the exact same thing. So you could just say they like leveled up the conference world in general.
I love it. Well said. So my last question for you, Bella, is around just some constructive criticism and or feedback, right? Anyone who runs an event like this that plans on doing another event, which I know that they do, wants to hear from folks about like, hey, like what worked? Like what didn't work? Like where do we have opportunity to improve next time? So from your perspective, again, as a first-time attendee, like what would make you want to go back to level up your listing next year? Like without a doubt, are there anything specific that the conference planning team, Natalie and Tatiana and whatnot could do differently to level up your listing next year?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think one thing that could have been maybe, and I mean, I touched on this before in a positive way, but there were a few negative things to do with it as well, which was having so much sponsored speaking. So a lot of them really did give value, but there were a few that kind of let it be more of like a Q&A style situation, which ended up kind of resulting in some like strange live things that happened because a lot was left to like, what are people going to ask? So yeah. I think maybe adding a little bit more structure to, you know, those more speaking situations that were sponsored for some of them. Like I said, a lot of other ones, they did a really good job without it. I think the opportunity for networking more constructively might have been an opportunity there that they could explore next year. I went to a conference with Rob Built Conference HostCon.
Yeah.
And there was a time when we were put, I mean, kind of like if we were in the fifth grade playing that game, like Ships and Sailors, where you have to get in random groups like every 5 minutes. And that was just an opportunity for like speed networking. And there was, you know, there was tons of networking. Like I said, people were very authentically networking, but I was never put in someone's way that I wasn't setting out to talk to for the most part. So maybe adding in some sort of networking event that's a little bit fun and structured would have been cool just to break up the day a little bit. So that maybe is one place. Otherwise, I really can't say much negative because it was truly that great. And I know it's just going to keep getting better as the years go on. So I'm excited to see how it grows and what innovations they add and hopefully to keep attending. And we'll see how it goes. Maybe even go on stage one day there.
I think you should. I think you should teach people how to freaking create incredible murals like that. I mean, that that's a workshop in and of itself.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Well, Bella, thank you. Thank you so much for your time, Bella. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, no problem.
And for folks that want to follow you, what's the best way for them to do so? Can they follow you on Instagram? Is that the best place?
Yeah, Instagram's best. It's Let's Go With Bella. That's my handle. Let's Go With Bella. And then I'm also on YouTube as Bella the Creator, where I share all my murals and STR designs.
Wonderful. I love it. And guys, I just recently followed Bella. We just got connected like literally 24 hours ago, and I've been looking at her Insta stuff, and it's beautiful. So go check it out. And if you're in need of some cool, like extra fun, like amenity for prospective guests, be sure to holler at her. Bella, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Thanks, Zach. Talk to you later.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Behind the Stays. I'd love to know what you thought of the episode. Feel free to shoot me an email directly at Zach, that's Z-A-C-H, at spontaneous.com, or find me on X, formerly Twitter, at ZBoozy, that's Z-B-O-O-Z-E-E, or on LinkedIn at Zach Boozy Cruz. If this is your first time tuning in, it's a pleasure to have you, and we hope to have you back again soon. If you've been a listener for a while, though, I'd greatly appreciate if you could subscribe and then leave us a rating and review of the show wherever you are currently streaming this podcast. Last but certainly not least, Spontaneous and Behind the Stays are totally bootstrapped, and my ability to bring you these stories is only possible because of our incredible advertising partners. We're very much a startup show, and while our growth rate is amazing, thanks to all you who keep tuning in and sharing our show with your friends and family, we haven't quote-unquote made it yet. So if you could do me a huge favor and go and check out the sponsor for today's episode in the show notes below, I would greatly appreciate it. Even if their offering doesn't make sense for you right now, sending them a quick message on social or an email, just saying that you're listening to the show and you appreciate their support would be incredibly amazing. All right, friends, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you on the next episode of Behind the Stays.